Good morning.
Take words away from people and they don't know what to do. Well, if you notice this morning, we don't have our projectors going because we have the fabric up. And you say, what's this all about? Well, we have our Christmas program coming up in just 3 short weeks and 3 short weekends. It'll be here December 13th and 14th at 7 p.m. Now, we've got some of these out in the Welcome Center, some posters. If you work at a place that'll put this up, if you know of a public place that will put this up, I encourage you, take one with you, put it up. And then we have these individual postcards. Now, you can mail these out. They're at the size that you could mail these out, or you could just hand them out. Now, here's the goal: for everybody in the church to invite 20 people who don't attend here. Some of you are going, I don't know 20 people. Well, if you're on Facebook, you might have 20 Facebook friends. I know they're fake friends, but you could send it out to your Facebook friends. We will have a link at our church website where you could go ahead and forward that out to people for Facebook. But also, the best is to take one of these in your hand and hand it to someone and say, I want to invite you out to the program. Because it is a great program. It's going to share the gospel in a very clear manner. And it's just going to be a wonderful weekend. And so make sure that you are planning on your attendance, but also that you are inviting others to come out as well. Also, because the front is kind of blocked off, we do have the words to the songs in the bulletin. They've been inserted in there, and so when we start singing, you can look there for the words. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we want to say welcome. And if it's your first time here at 12th Street Baptist Church, we'd like to put a visitor brochure in your hand with a visitor card so we could have a record of your visit with us. So if you could just slip your hand up in the air if you're visiting with us so we could have a record of your time with us. All right. Yes. All right. There we go. Thank you. All right. Well, if you look in your bulletin, we have a couple more announcements to go through here. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner, by the way, on Wednesday night, and I want to say thank you to, that was a great dinner, and I'm not just saying that, it was a really good dinner. You can tell I like to eat, but I want to say thank you to everyone who helped prepare and bring food. I'd like to just say thank you to you. And then Lynn Anderson, she had her hands full. She kind of put everything together and ran that night. And I would like to say a big thank you to Lynn Anderson. All right. For those who are involved in the Christmas program, don't forget about practices. And also, men's basketball will be taking a break until, and it says they're after Thanksgiving, starting up again Monday, December 2nd at 6:30. So if you were planning on coming out Monday, don't, because we won't start again until December 2nd. We are looking for someone to snowplow. We've been informed of a couple people, but if you know of somebody, we're putting together prices, and we need snowplowing already, right? Doesn't it seem too early? But the snow is flying. And I think that's it for the announcements. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this morning. Father, I thank you that as we meet here this morning, that as a great God, you've given us so much to be thankful for. And Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to join with this wonderful body to accomplish your work. And Lord, you have so many great things you want us to do. I thank you, Lord, for this past year. I thank you for every bump. I thank you for every hurdle. I thank you for every trial. Because, Lord, on the other side of every single one of those, there has been a victory for you. And so, Lord, we just say thank you for who you are, the great God, the creator, the sustainer, the giver. And so, Lord, to you be all praise and glory. We dedicate this time to you. Use it for your glory, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During our meet and greet time, this is the week of the month that we take up our mustard seed offering. The mustard seed offering is an offering that we use. It goes entirely toward debt retirement. And so if you'd like to do that, this is in excess of your regular tithes and offerings. So during our meet and greet time, if you'd like to contribute to that, the yellow bucket is up there right behind this beautiful cornucopia. I want to say thank you to the Schaefers for providing this. And if you need to buy flowers, go to Schaefer's Flowers, all right? So thank you, Linda, and thank you, Charlie. All right, let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, if we can have a seat, and we'll take up our morning tithe and offering. All right, let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again that we can be in your house this morning, Lord, and that we can come and we can worship, and we can hear from your word. Father, we just ask that you just be with Pastor this morning as he brings forth the message. Lord, I just pray that you'll just lay something on our heart this morning that we can take and use it and apply it to our lives, Lord, and go out and share it with others around us. Father, I just ask that you'll just be with the offering this morning. I ask you'll be with each gift and each giver, and that we can see this go forth to further your ministry. And we pray this now in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
Thank you. are going to have words now. We've got that all set up in the back. Would you stand with us this morning as we sing? You've got the inserts in your bulletins this morning. You've got the words there in front of you, so sing along with us as we sing. Conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Join us as we sing The Stand this morning.
You stood before creation.
Thank you.
what you have required. You search much deeper within. You lay things up. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless word, no one could express how much you deserve.
Before you this morning, Lord, thanking you for this opportunity to be in your house today. Father, we want it to be about you, not about us.
That's right.
Lord, if our hearts aren't in the right place this morning, Father, I just pray you'd touch us. Fill this place with your presence. Be with our pastor as he brings the word this morning. And Lord, just use it to change our lives, change our attitudes. Help us to be the kind of people that you want us to be. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Saturday, December 1st, I believe, is the date. Is that the date? No. Is that next Saturday? 30th. Okay, Linda's not. Charlie, when are they decorating for Christmas?
30th, Saturday.
Saturday the 30th. I had the right Saturday, just didn't know the date. All right, so at 10 a.m., there will be decorating here at the church for Christmas. Put up a lot of lights and trees and it looks very festive around here, and many hands make the labor light. So we'd appreciate if you could come out next Saturday at 10 a.m. and help with that. And then also in 2 weeks, and then the December 7th, and then the next week, December 14th, there are, in the morning, we're doing upward basketball evaluations. And if anyone would like to help, all you have to do is hold a stopwatch or count how many times somebody makes a basket. All right, real simple. We keep the math real simple too, but we need to do some evaluations for that. And so, if you are free to help out with that, just see me, and I'll get you stationed for that. Well, with Thanksgiving this week, I wanted to share the rest of the story of Gideon, because what the rest of the story shows us is a thankless life. With Thanksgiving coming up, we don't want to live thankless lives. We want to live a life that is full of thanks. So just a little help for this weekend. If the dinner conversation is a little bit slow and people aren't sharing very much to be thankful for, a good way for you to kind of to really stimulate some thought at the dinner table would be to say, I'm thankful that I didn't get caught. And then don't say anything else. And if anybody asks, you just say, oh no, I'm just thankful that I didn't get caught. And leave it at that. And that'll make for a very interesting Thanksgiving dinner, okay? So just a little help with you this weekend is many of us will be getting together with family and friends. Luke chapter 17, you don't need to turn there, but in verses 11 through 17, Jesus has 10 lepers that come to him and they say, Master, heal us, and he heals all 10 of them. He says, go show yourself to the priest, and they take off to show themselves to the priest. And only one turns around, comes back, and says, thank you. And Jesus looks and he says, weren't there 10 that were healed? And only one comes back to say thank you. See, what's the difference between being thankful and having thanksgiving? I'm sure all 10 of those lepers were thankful that they were healed. Don't you agree? I'm sure of it. I don't think any of them went, oh, can't believe he healed me. I'm sure they were all thankful that they were healed. But only one had thanksgiving, because thanksgiving is not just having an attitude of saying, oh, I'm thankful for this, but thanksgiving is going and giving thanks to the supplier of your need or of your want. In Psalms 26 and verse 7, it says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. That's part of thanksgiving. Publishing with our mouth. If you look up the word thanksgiving, especially through the book of Psalms, but also in the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah, it's almost always associated with singing. Thanksgiving and singing go hand to hand. Why? Because it's the proclamation with the mouth that you are thankful for something. But it's not just saying, I'm thankful for, it's saying, I'm thankful to. See the difference? Being thankful is saying, I'm thankful that God did this. Thanksgiving is, I'm thankful to you, God, for doing this for me. Do you see the difference? Christians don't just live thankful lives. We live lives full of thanksgiving because we give the thanks back to God. We don't just make general proclamations of, I'm glad that something happened. In Psalm 50, verse 14, it says, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay your vows unto the Most High. See, part of offering thanksgiving is paying a vow. What is paying a vow? It's doing something. Thanksgiving isn't just saying, yes, thank you. Thanksgiving is doing something for the favor that you've been given. Psalm 95 and verse 2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise before him with psalms. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So we sing and we say words to him, but it's the doing that actually is a life that has true thanksgiving. And then in 2 Corinthians 9, written to the church at Corinth, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. See, we have been given so much. Everybody here is clothed, praise the Lord. Everybody here had transportation. Everybody here has breath. We all have enough health to be here. You had donuts and coffee out in the lobby. We have much to be thankful for. In fact, what we have is called a bounty. God has been so bountiful toward us. And in that, we should say not only with our mouth, thank you, but we should live a life that gives thanks to him. Now, as we go to the book of Judges, here's what happened with Israel. Israel was for 7 years in bondage to a country called the Midianites, a group of brutal people. They would take all of your food, all of your goods, consume them for yourselves, and leave you destitute and with nothing. And so God raised up a man named Gideon. And with 300 men, he took on an army of over 135,000. And with 300 men, they destroyed the army of the Midianites. And God gave them the victory. So when the victory's finished, they're now free from being under the servitude of the Midianites. Now they have an opportunity to say, I am thankful to God. Now they have an opportunity to live a life of thanksgiving. For 7 years, they couldn't do anything in public. They had to do everything in private out of fear that the enemy would take from them. And now they're free. And you would think that they would go, God, thank you. And you would think that they would say, all right, God, I want to serve you. But let's read how Israel responds in Judges chapter 8 and verse 34. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. How could this happen? God delivers them out of the hand of their enemy, and they don't remember it. God did it in a miraculous way. There's no way that they could say, we did this ourselves. We have 300 people chasing 15,000 down the road. This is a thing of God. They killed 120,000 with trumpets, water pitchers, and torches. And no, they weren't lighting them on fire and bashing them over the head. No, they were just standing on top of the hillside being obedient to God, and God was giving them the victory, and they do not remember him. That is not thanksgiving. It's the opposite. In Scripture, Gideon has two names. The first is, obviously, Gideon. That's his name that God used with him when he lived in victory. But he had another name, and that name was given to him by his father. Gideon had to tear down his dad's altar to Baal before he could go and get victory over the Midianites. And so his father, whose idol has just been torn down, I mean, his son destroyed his god. And so Joash, his father, says, I'm renaming you Jerubbaal. And Jerubbaal means let Baal plead, or let Baal act on his own. Let Baal avenge himself. And so it's interesting in Judges. Chapter 8, it refers to Gideon back and forth as Gideon and Jerubbaal. And what we'll notice as we study through it is that he's called Gideon when he lives in the victory that God gave him. But when he establishes his own god, you see, after the victory, they said, rule over us, you and your sons, because Gideon had 70 sons with many different wives. And they said, no. Gideon said, no, I will not be your king. You have a king, and his name is the Lord. Worship him. Follow him. He's your king. So there he's Gideon. But then he says, well, why don't you give me some gold? And he takes all the gold earrings. It comes out to $2,193,000 worth of gold in today's standard that they give to him. He melts the golden earrings down and he creates an image, an idol. And all of a sudden the scripture quits calling him Gideon. And the scripture goes back to calling him Jerubbaal. In fact, all of chapter 9, we won't hear about him being Gideon anymore. From now on, in chapter 9 in Judges, his name will be Jerubbaal. Now, he's dead. But why does the scripture do that? Because he left a legacy. And he left a legacy that was not a legacy of thanksgiving. He left a legacy of thanklessness. And if we leave a legacy of thanklessness, we will end up having the exact same things happen in our families, in our futures, that Gideon has with his. So let's look here in chapter 9 at what happens to Gideon's family. And remember, in chapter 9, every time it says Jerubbaal, it's a reference to Gideon. Now, real quickly, as a way of review, Gideon had a son named Abimelech. Abimelech was not one of his 70 sons born through his wives. This was another woman he had on the side, okay? When did Gideon get into all this? Well, when he left being Gideon and started being Jerubbaal. And he starts to leave an improper legacy. And so one of the sons that he has, the son is from Shechem, and his name is Abimelech. Now, Abimelech, that name means the son of a king. Was Gideon a king? No. He refused kingship. That was Gideon. But as Jerubbaal, he set up an idol. And his son did not learn from his example of follow God. His son learned, let's follow idols. And so Abimelech, the son of a king, from Shechem, he decides, you know what? I want to be king. So he goes around to his brothers. Now, the town of Shechem, how did Shechem come into existence? It's a very interesting little story that takes place in the book of Genesis. And it's with Judah, who his name is changed to Israel later on in Scripture. I'm sorry, not Judah. Jacob, his name is changed to Israel later on in Scripture. Okay, Jacob, his sons, one of their sisters, her name is Dinah. She goes into Shechem. Now, it's not called Shechem yet. It's just called a town. She goes there, and while she's there, a man whose name is Shechem, he rapes her. He falls in love with her. He goes to Jacob's family and says, I want to marry her. And Jacob, trying to find a way to keep peace, says, all right, if all of you get circumcised, all of the men in your city, then I will allow you to marry her. So they all get circumcised. 3 days later, all the men are very sore, the Bible says. And two of the sons decide that they will go in and they kill all of the men in the city while they're sore. They're unable to defend themselves. And they kill all of the men in the city. From then on, that city's name will be called Shechem. This is the place where Abimelech and his family live, this town called Shechem. Abimelech goes to all his brothers. Now remember, he wasn't born to one of Gideon's wives. He was born to one of Gideon's mistresses. And he goes to all the people in Shechem and he says, listen, why do you want a stranger or a foreigner to be your king? Let me be your king. And they all got riled up and they had a pep assembly and they said, let's go do it. And so they go out and they find Gideon's other sons. And they kill them all on one rock. They behead them. 70. Problem is they miss one, the very youngest of all of Gideon's sons. His name is Jotham. So while they're killing all these sons, Jotham, he goes up on top of a hill and he looks down at them after they finished killing all of the sons. And Jotham looks down and he looks to the people of Shechem and he says, you know what? I'm going to tell you a little story. He says, the trees of the forest were looking for someone to be their king. They went to the olive tree. Now the olive tree would make sense because the olive tree provides oil for anointing kings and for priestly work. So the olive tree would make sense. But the olive tree says, no, I won't be your king. Just like Gideon refused to be king. So then they went to the vine. At least the vine provides grapes, sustenance, wine. To the vine, be our king. And the vine says, no, I'm here to provide for sustenance. I can't do that. So then they go to the bramble bush. You know what the bramble bush is? It's what you use to kindle for fire. All right? That's about all it's good for. It's a worthless branch. It's a worthless nothing. And they say, be our king. And the bramble says, I will be your king. And he says, that bramble bush is going to cause you all to burn. Well, of course, they're sitting there listening to this, the people of Shechem, and they're like, are you saying that Abimelech is like a bramble bush? Are you saying that we've chosen the most foolish person to be our king? And so Jotham, he runs away. They don't catch him. Abimelech gets a big head, and he gets angry, and he begins to conquer. And he goes around, and he's a ruthless ruler. He doesn't remember any of the good that Gideon, his father, had done. He does not remember the Lord God. So in the process of time, God sends an evil spirit between Shechem, those are his relatives on his mom's side, and himself. And the people of Shechem, they're like, man, we're sick and tired of him. He's a tyrant. So they meet this guy, and I'm sorry to throw another name at you, but his name is Galal, okay? And Galal, he's talking with the men of Shechem. They're getting drunk together, and they're having a party. And as they're talking, the men of Shechem are like, they're like, yeah, we're going to kill Abimelech. We have these people that are going to wait for him, and we're going to kill him. And Galal hears this. And he's like, whoa, I can either be part of this or not. And so he actually sends message to Abimelech, because he tries to get on Abimelech's good side, that they're trying to kill you. Well, another man enters the scene. His name is Zebul. He's the governor of the city. The governor of the city overhears all this, and this governor of the city, he's like, man, this is not a good deal. He goes, I don't want Abimelech to be free. I want Abimelech to die. He's a tyrant. So he sets it up so that when Galal's standing there, that Galal looks out and he says, oh, look, there are men coming in to attack. And Zebul says, no, you're just seeing things. Those are shadows. Those aren't men coming to attack. Again, there are men coming to attack. Nah, you're just seeing things. Those are just shadows. Well, here's what happens. Abimelech comes in, attacks. He destroys the entire city. Burns it to the ground, and then he plants salt over the top of it. Planting the salt over the top of it means that it can't be used for anything. It's now worthless property. Now he's on a tirade. Now he's mad. So he goes to the next city that's close by, and he chases the people into their temple, and all the people are hiding in the temple, and he grabs a branch. He throws the branch down next to the temple, and he says, everybody grab a branch. And so all the people grab a branch. They throw it down next to the temple. They light it on fire, and they burn all the people inside the temple. Then he goes to the next town, and at the next town, all the people hide up in this real strong tower. And so he's trying to break down the wall to the tower when there's a woman standing on top of the tower. She's got a piece of a millstone. Now, a millstone it's huge, huge and heavy. She's got a little piece of it. So it's probably a rock that's got to be about this size. She picks up that millstone. She leans over the edge, and she drops it on top of Abimelech's head. Crushes his skull. Now he's barely alive, and he looks over at a young man that's carrying his arm, and he's like, kill me, I don't want a woman to kill me. And so the guy kills him. Everybody that's been following Abimelech to that time, as soon as they see that he's dead, they're like, ah, it's over. And they all go home. And that is the end of the legacy of Gideon. All of his boys dead or in hiding. His legacy now is not the man who led the 300 to destroy the Midianites. His legacy is now he had a son that was a tyrant over all the people. You see, Jerubbaal was his legacy instead of Gideon, the man who God used so greatly. The Bible finishes with the story of Gideon to let us see that if we live a thankless life, a life does not say thank you to God. Gideon at the end did not say thank you to God. He created his own image of God. And you know, we go through life and there are so many times where God does good for us. So many times where God gives to us things that are helpful. Have you ever been driving down the road and the semi did not hit you? That's like most days, right? I haven't seen too many dinged up cars out there in the parking lot. How about those days where we went and we opened the refrigerator and the food did not spoil? Or how about the day when the paycheck actually arrived? Or we had the opportunity to go to work? Are we thankful? Do we give thanks to God? Or that's what I'm owed? That's what's expected. See, what God does for us every day is he provides so much good. And you know, the Israelites, they had forgotten about all the good because they started to follow the image, the idol. We set up idols in our lives all the time. You know, it goes right back to where we started with this whole study. We have to tear those stupid idols down. You see, while God helps us, God does some amazing things. There are times that we'll say, God, I need help. And God will be right there and he'll provide the help that we need for us. He'll provide exactly what we need. All right, here's a silly thing. You've ever been driving through the parking lot looking for a parking space? You don't want to walk a quarter mile to get to the store because it's cold out. And so you just simply say a prayer, God, can you please help me? And a parking spot opens up. Do you take that as an act of God, or is it like, whew, what a coincidence? When you're in need, maybe you just need a couple more hours at work, or a couple less hours at work, whatever it may be, and somehow God miraculously provides whatever it is that you need, do you just look at that and say, what a coincidence? Or do you give thanks to God? Maybe you'll give thanks to your boss. Maybe you'll give thanks to those who are helping. You ever been pulled over for a ticket and the policeman let you go? Who do you thank, the officer or God? See, a life of thanksgiving is where you give back the thanks to God. Because when we rob him of that thanks, we rob ourselves of his blessing. Let me give you two things that a life of thanksgiving will do. Number one, it will bring glory to God. A life of thanksgiving will bring glory to God. That's where Gideon failed. That's why he becomes Jerubbaal in his memory. Because he quit giving glory to God. And his children didn't give glory to God. Secondly, leave an example for your children to follow. Leave an example for your children to follow. You say, what does that have to do with Thanksgiving? It has everything to do with Thanksgiving. Because your kids will learn Thanksgiving through your life. Your grandchildren will learn Thanksgiving through your life. The neighbor children that you have an influence over, your nephews and nieces, your the person, the little child that you help watch on occasion, leave a legacy of thanksgiving with them. See, there comes days where we say, God, I really need help. And if you just could help me out a little bit, I would be so thankful. And God provides. We say, oh, God, I really need a tool. Whatever that tool may be. And in this case, I'm going to say, God, I really need a drill. I need a power drill because I need to be able to get some screws out of a deck and I need to be able to put some screws back in and it would just make life a lot easier. Boy, my forearm gets tired from turning that screwdriver all the time. And God, I just really would love to have a drill. And so then God, he provides something. And we don't know necessarily what he's providing, but we're always thankful. Because we always say thank you to him for the gifts that he gives us. So he gives us a gift, and so we start ripping into the gift, you know, and we're all excited. We're like, what's going on? What's in here? And guess what we get? We get the drill. Yeah. Feel the power. And we're like, yes, God, you provided. Thank you, God. Oh. I need my bit, God. So I got my bit in here now. And we're just so excited. We say, thank you, God. You are a wonderful provider. And then what do we do with what he gives us? We leave it in the box. We don't put it to work. We said, God, I need this. And then he provides it. And we're like, yeah, woo, thank you. And you know what? We might even go tell everybody about it. We'll run around. We'll be like, you would not believe it. I needed a drill. And God gave me a drill. But what are you doing with it? I asked God to provide a tool to help me be more efficient in life. He provided the tool. And yeah, that's great. But there's no thanksgiving until you use it. There's no thanksgiving until it becomes part of your life. Up until then, we're just saying thank you, and there's a big difference between being thankful and having thanksgiving. And so I just want to encourage you, with Thanksgiving coming up, and we're going to have an opportunity, and we're going to say, you know, probably one of the number one things that we hear all the time is, I'm thankful for my family. Yeah, but are you engaged with your family in a way where your family gives glory to God because of you? Or is your family cursing God because of you? Is your family excited? You say, God, I'm so thankful for my family. But are you bringing glory to God through your interaction with them? Because if you're not, you're just a person that's been given something you're thankful for, but you have no thanksgiving. And today, we get to... I'm glad that this is probably one of the best holidays that we celebrate as a nation. Because Thanksgiving is not just about being thankful for, it's giving thanks to the provider. Don't be Jerubbaal. Be a Gideon. Let's pray. Father, as we've looked at your word this morning, I thank you that you give us these examples. And Lord, what a twisted, sordid affair that family had. What a miserable existence of a person to do all the things they did. But Lord, spiritually, we do much the same. And Lord, I pray that you would help every single one of us to live with thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. And Lord, I do believe that we are thankful. But I pray, Lord, we would live with so much more than that. We would give thanks to you for what you have given to us, and that we would give glory back to you, our great God. So Lord, if there's anyone here who has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, there really is no living a life of thanksgiving at all until they've received that salvation. That's why I thank you, Lord, that we could sing the songs that we have this morning. I thank you for the choir song that cry to Jesus. There's no other voice to cry to. I thank you, Lord, for the song by faith, because it's by faith that we receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. And Lord, if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, I pray that during this invitation time, that they would just come to the front and shake my hand and tell me that they want to trust Jesus, because I know, Lord God, that you will save them today. And they'll have so much more to be thankful for than they've ever imagined. And Lord, I pray for the Christian who hasn't been thankful. I pray right now they would just get excited about being thankful. That it would be an opportunity for them to give thanks, not just say thanks. That they would return to you and use the good that you've given. So now, Lord, we dedicate this invitation time for your glory. Help us to be obedient servants. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing the closing song. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you to come up here. Coming up here won't save you. But I tell you what, you put your faith and trust in Jesus, he will save you today. And you'll have a whole new meaning of thanksgiving in your life. And if you are saved, we have so much to be thankful for. And as we sing the song, I Surrender All, what a great way to show thanksgiving, to surrender your all to him. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we could ask or think, to him be glory for now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.